All right, we're recording.
We're live again.
We're live.
I made sure that my audio was connected to my microphone and not my headphones.
So that way,
that was a rookie mistake.
Like we're going through a drive-thru.
Hello, can I take your order?
It's always something. Like it's things always just something. Can't go. It's why people listen. Yes. To be crackled at. Crackled? Is that the...
Listen to us in a crackly voice say fuck you to horrible people.
Yeah. So, hey.
Yeah. Hello.
It's your girl, Julie.
And it's Kat getting back into the swing of things.
And this is Miss Murder.
Miss Murder, if you want to... Cue the music.
Cueing it. Cueing it. Lovely. I love that every time we say cue the music, we always do. We always go.
We play the filler.
Like, why are we like this? Like, we know I'm just going to cut it and edit it, and yet every time
it adds to our charm.
And every time I leave a little bit of the singing in there, just so that people know that this is
what we do. We're insane.
This is what we do. All right.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited for this one. So while we were on like our little hiatus, my mom would peer around the corner and she'd be like, are you going to do this case? I have a case for you. Catherine, are you doing this case?
She's got all of the good
cases. So this one is sponsored by my mom.
That's how you know it's going to be bad.
Oh, yes.
Crazy.
Everybody who knows my mom.
I love her.
What a little angel.
She's a little, like, she's too good for this earth, honestly. And that's just it. Like, literally too good for this earth. We don't deserve her.
She is everyone's mom.
She is everyone's mom sitting on her throne surrounded by kitty cats.
Oh, yes. With her portrait of Sir Mason O'Malley.
Yes.
Who is her cat. That is her son.
Oh, my gosh. So... In my new job, we had to do these like introductory slides that they presented during an all teams call. And so it was like, you know, like talk a little about where you grew up and your family and some fun facts.
Pets and stuff.
Yeah. And so I was like, one of my fun facts is that I host a true crime podcast with my best friend, Kat.
Oh my God. What?
And I was like, I'm not going to tell y'all the name though.
Because
I'm not ready for that yet. And so then I had a call with the communications department like 2 days ago, and we were about to finish up our call, and she goes, so before I let you go, I have a question about your true crime podcast, because I want to listen to it. And I was like, listen,
oh my
girl,
God.
Like, I'm sorry, but I'm too unhinged.
You're too new in this job.
I was like, you don't even know me in person yet. Like, we've only met through Teams, and I'm too unhinged on there for you to just, like, know me at this level. Like, I need you to meet me in person first, get to know me before you hear how unhinged I can be.
I shattered my poor team lead's world. She was like, oh my God. Sorry, yeah. Tabitha.
So sorry, Tabitha.
So sorry.
And so sorry, Brittany. But they did give me some good case recommendations, so.
Ooh, good. Yes. Yeah. We need to get back on our Google Doc.
In our Google Doc. Oof.
And I've got mine pulled up with all my notes. I was finishing up today.
Yeah.
It might be a shorter one. I don't know. But.
Quality
over quantity.
Quality.
So today, we're going to do something a little different.
Oh,
we're gonna travel
into the future.
not into the future, but more into the past.
Don't we always travel into the past?
Don't ruin my moment.
I'm so sorry.
I don't know. Okay, because technically it's the present, but they live in the past. Ye riddle, I speak.
Confusion. Anyway, keep going.
We're going to the Amish country. Sorry to not be straightforward. Riddle thee this, Batman.
I got it. I'm not smart enough to have gotten that riddle.
I was like, yeah, no, I don't. I think I was the only one.
No, I mean, it makes total sense. It makes total sense. I'm just stupid.
You know, okay, so we're traveling into the Amish country.
Love
getting right into it. So you know the horse and buggies, the hats, the no electricity, how they're considered separate, the beards, the peers. Yes. They're considered separate from, they refer to outsiders as the English. They don't use cell phones, telephones, and they also don't use the internet.
And they also make really nice furniture.
They do. There are a lot of carpenters, bakers.
I've seen some Facebook pages about it.
Yeah, my mom took us to the Amish country up in Pennsylvania, and they gave us sugar-free sugar cookies, which
were delicious. Weren't good. Oh, sad.
I know, I felt bad, but they were all really sweet. So one of the reasons they don't use like public electricity and whatnot is because that is a way that's like a connection to the English world. Where it makes them rely on something from the English to get by their day by day.
Right.
So instead of using electricity, they will use, it depends on the communities too, everybody's individual. So they'll use like batteries, generators, propanes. I have batteries listed twice. You know,
you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah. And so every community, you know, religion, they're a branch of Christianity. So each community is like headed by the bishop, who is the head of the church. And also, like, the community leader. So we're going to travel on down, or I guess up, to Somershade, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
I went there once. I would not go there again.
Thankfully, there was a lot of fields. Never been there.
Yeah.
I feel like that whole part of America, like, was out there. Live on a coast. Yeah.
I mean, Somershade is a cute name, though, but cute stuff didn't happen.
No.
So we're going to meet Samuel and Anna. Samuel, he's a carpenter, you know, making furniture, very well known in the community. Like part of his job was like doing carpentry contract jobs for English houses. So, you know.
So like, they can work for, like, do jobs for English people.
Yeah, like, if they're selling their service.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, so, like, people would commission him to, like, do their kitchen cabinets, you know, things like that. And so he was working as a carpenter, and Anna, she was very, very beautiful, very kind. She was also very soft-spoken and timid. They both got married at a young age, like, early 20s, which is, like, normal for Amish. And they started a family. And they appeared to be very, very much in love. So there's like mixed reports about how many children they had together. Like the documentary I watched said they had 5 kids. Mm-hmm. News articles have said they had 4 kids. So Anna was pretty much pregnant back to back.
Oof.
With 4 or 5 pregnancies.
Yeah.
And so
that's all your good years, man.
And each delivery was a C-section.
Oh,
so after each pregnancy, it was taking her longer and longer to recover because that is intense surgery. So she was having trouble kind of keeping up with, you know, cooking, cleaning, sewing clothes, looking after the kids, laundry, doing the gardening. So they're like, Samuel's like, all right, let's bring in, you know, some outside help. We're going to help you out here.
Okay.
So they bring in this woman, Mary. And she's kind of like, she helps around the house, and then she also helps Samuel with, like, carpentry jobs, with, like, wood staining and stuff. So she's kind of helping on both ends of the family. And so...
That's suspicious.
Oh, we're gonna get there, my friend. Okay. So Anna, you know, she's taking longer to recover. She's getting sicker and sicker. Oh. And this particular Amish community, they didn't use modern medicine. Like, they didn't go to, like, local doctors or anything. Mm-hmm. It just depends on which branch community. You know, yeah. Some choose to use English medicine, others don't. It sounded like this one didn't. So everybody knew she was sick, and they were using, like, herbal remedies, chiropractic practices.
Yes.
Yes.
Chiropractic.
Yes. I know English.
That side is going to your head.
And the sad thing is, I already can feel, like, the heat on my face, and I am, it's like, bubbling. A fourth of the way into this. This is one. Welcome to me.
Catherine is simultaneously the lightest weight person, but the person that I can see throw back more shots with a straight face than anyone I know.
Yeah. It's, like, the most ineffective superpower. Like, you can fly. You can turn invisible.
You can fly.
You can handle shots, but you ain't shit.
Yeah.
I'm over here like a little sunburned child.
So wait, question.
Yes.
If they didn't use modern medicine, how did they do the C-section? They were just cutting?
That's what I was wondering. Because there really wasn't a lot of information about this case. So when I saw C-sections, I was like, okay, like, they had to have gone to a hospital.
I mean, maybe they have.
Like, I mean, midwives, definitely a thing.
Yeah.
That part was very unclear. Because there were maybe, outside of this documentary, there were maybe like 4 news articles about this. Like, there was like no info out there.
Mm-hmm.
So she had C-sections, but she wasn't using, like, I guess, you know, conventional medical treatment.
Yeah.
So she was getting sicker and sicker. And then on December 4th, 2006, Anna was 26 years old when she passed away.
Oh.
Sorry.
The cider is not sponsored by Chipotle.
No, and it's not sponsored by Bold Rock Hard Cider. Living large. So her cause, Anna passed away at 26. Her cause of death was ruled as liver failure.
Mm-hmm.
Natural causes. I see you're making a face.
Because it's not, the math's not mathing.
We don't do math, but we know when the math doesn't math.
The math, right. I don't know how to do math because pretty girls don't need to know how to do math.
But this shit doesn't add up.
Put
that on a t-shirt. I don't know how to do math, but this shit doesn't add up.
Yes!
That's probably already a thing on Twitter. It's probably.
Should I Google it?
I thought I was original. Cheers.
I mean, we could be onto something. Ah, I can't. Hold on.
We're going to take a moment to see if I had a genius idea.
So there is a similar tweet.
Ah.
By JuiceKing5X. It says, not the greatest at math, but I know when shit don't add up.
We need to include a screenshot of that in our spoilers with no context. Yeah.
And then I've got, I'm bad at math, but I know when shit doesn't add up.
Shout out to King Juice.
Shout out, King Juice.
Okay. So yeah, she died 2006. So now we're going to fast forward 10 years. Whatever time travel noises are. I was trying to do like a Doctor Who thing, but I haven't watched that show in like 10 years.
I figured that's what you were going for. Isn't that a more like... Isn't it? Like,
we sing and we do melodies.
Sorry.
Oh, good God. Okay.
So we're fast forwarding 10 years. So now we're
fast forwarding. The doctor has taken us to January 10th, 2016.
Lovely.
Samuel is 39 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He walks into the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, guys, I need to tell you something.
What does he tell them?
He's like, well, I got a story for y'all. I'm like, there's an odd like video of him, but he's like so nonchalant, just like rocking around. Like, well, I poisoned my wife.
Sir, this would have been nice.
And the detectives are like, or like the sheriff and the sheriff's deputy, they're like, okay, how did you poison her? Antifreeze and battery acid. And he's literally saying this so casually, like, it's like he didn't kill someone. Like, oh yeah, remember when?
Oh yeah, remember when I put battery acid in your drink?
Yeah, remember?
So crazy.
That's not where he put the acid.
Oh!
Okay. So, the Harrison County Sheriff, Josh Eckerson, he's like, what the hell? Because everybody knew Samuel from his carpentry business. And they're like, yeah, everybody, you know, they're familiar with the Amish community. They're like, they're very nice people. You know, they do things their way. You know, like, they have their own way of doing things. And, you
but
know,
they don't
Samuel,
bother anyone. So, yeah. Like.
And Samuel was very well known for his carpentry work. So they're like, what the hell? And when Anna did die back in 2006, there was nothing that indicated there was anything suspicious. It was like, oh, yeah, she just happened to die of liver failure at 26.
Right, like she probably was just going into multi-organ failure or something that was just a side cause of her getting sicker.
Yeah. And so... So the sheriffs, they're like, well, shit, you know, like we have somebody that has come into our, you know, building and is like, hey, I killed my wife. You know, obviously we have to investigate this. Right. And so because this crime was already because they didn't know if it was real or not.
Right.
Like, obviously, when somebody confesses, it's like, especially just like this out of the blue, it's like, what?
Right.
And so they were questioning, like, did he have some sort of psychotic break? Is he, like, is something going on? So they're like, okay, obviously we have to determine if a crime actually did happen or not.
Right.
So they go to the Harrison County morgue. They look at her. They pull her file. They look at the death certificate. They look at x-rays. They look at photographs. And everything was consistent with dying of natural causes / liver failure.
Right.
And so... In Missouri, you can't be convicted on just a confession. Like, you need more evidence than that.
Okay.
So the sheriff is like, all right, we got to talk to the Amish community. We have to figure out what's going on. And so they went and talked to the bishop because he's in charge of the community. He's the head of the church. Mm-hmm. And they asked him some questions, like, about Anna and Samuel's marriage. Nothing... you know, out of the ordinary there. And then they asked the bishop for permission to exhume Anna's body because that is really the only place they could find physical evidence after 10 years. And so for the Amish community, I didn't know this, but exhuming a grave is an act of desecration and you leave your dead to rest. But the bishop was like, you have a job to do. You can do it.
Right.
So they're granted permission by the bishop, and the officers were like, we're going to be able to give Anna, or they were telling the bishop, Anna can be properly buried again after we do our work, after we do our job. After we do our job. Wow. English. I didn't really have dinner before I drank this, which is also really sad.
Madam. Love yourself.
Say what you need to say. Say what you need to say. I need to love myself.
You need to love yourself.
Say what you need to say. So they exhume Anna's body.
Yes.
And they, you know, do their reports. You know, okay, he said that he used battery acid. He said that he used antifreeze. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can find some traces of battery acid after 10 years. But the forensic reports, they pull up nothing. There's still no evidence. And so 5 months into this investigation, so they started in January when Samuel said, hey, guess what I did on the weekend?
Yeah.
And 5 months in, everything seems to be a dead end. Then they get a phone call. They get a phone call from Samuel's brother, Eli.
Okay. Oh, Eli.
Eli. So Eli was, I think, the only member of the Amish community that was like, yeah, I'm coming forward about this.
Mm-hmm.
So Eli's like, oh, you think this was a happy-go-lucky marriage? That wasn't the case. That was not the case. So Mary, who was hired from a nearby Amish community
to help
Anna the household.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was helping with the children and she was helping with the carpentry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But with Mary and Samuel,
what else was she helping with?
There was a lot of exchanging of glances, standing just a little too close to each other.
Mm.
And, you know, this is a no-no in the Amish community. Like,
what
you
else was she helping with, Catherine?
That is a sin.
Ooh. So is killing your wife with battery acid. And yet.
Here we are.
And yet.
Oof. So, and a lot of people think of affairs as these like really intense, passionate things, but
it's
they're in the Amish community. Like, yeah, like, you know, it's much more subtle because if they find out that you're being adulterous, you face consequences. So of course the bishop of the community, he finds out that Mary and Samuel are, you know, they need some time away to get closer to God, you know?
Mm.
And so they send Mary to Indiana. I think that's where she came from, her original community. I'm not entirely mm-hmm. sure. And so Samuel was actually excommunicated for 3 months, which is a huge deal because excommunication is like, that's like the final straw.
You're literally like, shunned.
Yeah. Like all, you know, we've had our one-on-one talks. That's not enough. Last resort is to excommunicate you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when they decide you're going to be excommunicated, it's a unanimous vote from church leadership.
Oof.
So everyone has to say, yes, you're gone. And you also have restricted contact with families and friends. And basically this time is for you to, I think it said, reflect on yourself. And it also protects the Amish community and their image with God, if I'm like remembering this correctly. And then they allowed him back.
Right. So I mean, like, they're definitely more like community centric than individualist.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you have one bad sheep in the flock.
One baguette. Bad egg.
One baguette.
Yeah, you know, you have one baguette, it's all over.
It's all over. We don't need that French shit up in here. So sorry.
Oh my God. Why did I choose to have one cider without a meal? This is like the shittiest superpower.
I love it.
So Samuel is welcome back after 3 weeks, but he's a little different. And so Eli, he's noticing things. Eli's doing some thinking. So 2 weeks before Anna died, Samuel asked Mary to be his wife. And in the Amish, there is no divorce. There is no divorce
mm-hmm.
at all. And then Eli tells them, oh yeah, they got married in April. So Anna died in December. Mary and Samuel got married April 22nd.
So,
and they had 3 or 4 more kids.
Oh my.
So I think Samuel has like 8 children.
So virile.
And Mary was around 3 to 4 months pregnant when they got married.
Ah! So literally when she died, they was
Yep. So that's obviously a motive.
Yeah.
That is very much a motive for law enforcement. And so the county sheriff, he calls Mary in for questioning. You have a question.
I have a question. I'm raising my hand.
Yes.
So when the church excommunicated Samuel.
Yes.
Did they excommunicate Samuel for killing his wife or for being an adulterer?
Oh, it was for being an adulterer. Because.
So fuck his wife.
Well, because they all, at this point, they all thought that Anna was still alive when he was excommunicated. So this was right before Anna died. Did I mess up? I probably messed up. God damn it.
I thought he got excommunicated after he went to the police.
Oh, no, no, no. This is before.
Okay.
Yeah, so he went to the police 10 years after all this shit had happened.
Right. But so when did he get excommunicated?
So he went to the police in 2016. He probably got excommunicated 2006. Like probably November 2006.
So like a month before.
Yes.
She died.
Yes. Just to clear up the timeline, folks. I'm a little rusty here.
Okay. I get you though.
Yes,
I get
we're
you.
We're
back on track.
We're back on track. We're rolling. So the sheriff, they call Mary in for questioning, and she said she didn't know anything, and mm-hmm. they actually believed her.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those things, well, we can't prove or disprove that she knows anything, but they felt right. like that she really had no idea the behind the scenes.
Right.
So the sheriff is like, all right, let's investigate more into the medical side of this. So Anna was very clearly sick. Everybody in the community knew she was sick. They used vitamins, herbal remedies. Apparently somebody in the community tried giving Anna magnet therapy, which I had never heard of.
That?
Yeah, it's pretty much another like pseudoscience.
Uh-huh.
So it's something about putting magnets on the skin, and then it is supposed to restore cellular magnetic balance.
I've heard of this.
Yes, Julie's a biologist. She knows.
You know, I actually know this because you remember that show Bill Nye Saves the World?
Oh, yeah.
That came out on Netflix like
hell yes
3 years ago or whatever. So there was actually this one episode where he's talking about pseudosciences and he's like testing some of the different pseudosciences, and there's he's talking about Asian like ancient Asian medical practices. So they brought an Indian man to talk about how it's Asian people's fault for letting white people believe that these ancient healing practices actually work. But it's like, how are you going to blame Asian people for white people exploiting ancient healing practices? Like, they're allowed to have their belief systems and
absolutely.
Practice that while still also being angry that white people are exploiting them and appropriating them.
Yeah.
It was just like a very condescending tone towards ancient healing practices. And that was like one of them. So anyway, oh. sorry.
Yeah, I was trying to read more to like understand exactly what it was, but I think they would like roll magnets on the skin mm-hmm. and it was supposed to restore cellular magnetic balance. I don't
yeah.
know what that means. But they would also go to the chiropractor.
Okay.
I'm not going to tongue tie myself on this.
Chiropractic
and so Anna
practices.
Would go baguette. Yeah. So Anna would go to the chiropractor, and this got Samuel thinking. Oh, you know, because they're chiropractors, you know, the men would be the chiropractors.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, Samuel's like, all right, I'm going to be a chiropractor. And so they find out that Samuel had essentially created his own version of the rack. Like the
okay.
torture rack. So he would take ratchet straps,
no,
put them around the ankles and put them around the wrists and pull.
Nope.
So the woman would be stretched.
No.
Yes. And he also, as a man of medicine, had a special treatment that he would rub onto women's chests.
Okay.
And they believe that Samuel used his, you know, chiropractor, man of medicine thing. To sexually assault Mary.
Oh, no.
By telling her that her uterus was out of place.
Literally exploiting her.
Yes. And apparently there were other victims that came forward. I couldn't, like, I don't know what it was, but the only, like, four articles would pop up on this case, and it was all related to, like, you know, the charges, but I couldn't find any more information on, well, I mean, part of that too is the Amish, very, very private.
Very private,
But there were other victims that came forward and told similar stories.
Oh my God.
So they're finding out that nice carpenter Samuel is not the man they think he is.
Right.
And they finally get a break in the case after all these months where they can actually start to get Samuel, like, backed into a corner. So I don't know if this was a English hospital that Anna was treated at for one of her C-sections, or if she was taken there as an emergency room thing. It wasn't ever really specified, but she was treated at an English hospital. And the hospital put in the report that she had high amounts of acetaminophen in her system. Like,
oh, so the liver failure makes sense.
Yeah. So he was pretty much giving her Tylenol 24/7.
Holy fuck.
And this is why her death was ruled as liver failure.
Liver failure.
So they sit Samuel down. They're like, dude, you're it's over. And so Samuel, after they tell him, yeah, you're going to be facing 25 years in prison, he's like, no, I didn't. No, I'm not. I'm recanting my confession. No, that's not. I didn't do it.
Sir, you came up in here unprompted 10 years after the fact to tell us this outlandish motherfucking tale that you killed your wife with battery acid, and all of a sudden you're recanting after they find out what you actually did?
And his argument was that because he did not understand the consequences of confessing, his confession was not voluntary.
What did he think the punishment was? Another three-week excommunication?
We'll get there. But he, yeah, apparently he was trying to get this motion filed through his attorney to get it dismissed as involuntary. And it's like, okay, this was not a confession, you know, deprived from violence, torture, or coercion. He wasn't in police custody, and the police were not interrogating him, so Miranda warning not needed at all. Like, he literally just walked into the police station, was like, hey, let me tell y'all a story.
He offered the information.
Yes. So the police and the sheriff, they know they're getting closer. And so, because this is still like 2006 2007, so there's more accurate testing that they can do to test for the toxins in Anna's body. So the sheriff goes to the bishop a second time, and he's like, hey, I know Anna has already been exhumed and given another burial, but we're gonna need to exhume her body a second time.
No.
And the bishop, he's like, no, let me go talk to Samuel. We're going to talk to this.
Oh, shit.
We're going to talk to this.
Oh, shit.
Because when thinking about the trial, all of Samuel's children with Anna are going to have to testify. Members mm-hmm. of the Amish community are going to have to go to the court and testify. And Anna's body is going to have to be exhumed for a second time. And so the bishop goes and meets Samuel in jail and is like, you're pleading guilty.
Oh, period.
You are pleading guilty. Face the consequences. Mm-hmm. You're not dragging the community in with you. And so Samuel agrees to plead guilty to second degree murder.
Okay.
So pleading guilty, and it doesn't have to be exhumed. The Amish community doesn't have to worry about being involved in a trial. And so by pleading guilty, Samuel's like, okay, I'm going to tell you what really happened.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So
what happened?
You can't get divorced in the Amish community.
Right.
And Samuel was really in love with Mary and wanted mm-hmm. Mary to be his wife. So Samuel goes, okay, if I just feed Anna Tylenol all the time, that should do the trick. But that was taking too long. And so then he's like, okay, I'm going to put antifreeze in her sweet tea so she'll drink it. And that was still taking too long. So
this is a little Mike Malloy on our hands.
To speed up the process, he takes a syringe full
over it. I'm over it.
Full of battery acid and put it up her rectum. And he did that twice.
No.
And I like,
oh, I'm having a physical aversion to this right now.
And while she's dying through all of this, she is still trying to take care of her kids.
Stop.
She was still trying to take care of her kids. And Samuel, in his confession, goes, oh, yeah, I spilled a little bit of the battery acid on my hand. Oh, that, like, really burned.
Really?
Yeah, like... Oh, God, this fucking what asshole.
The fuck?
And so.
Oh, God.
Would you like to know the reason why Samuel walked into the police station and confessed all of this?
I gotta know because. I gotta know.
He literally would have gotten away with it if he didn't go to the police.
Right.
So Samuel confessed. Because he needed to cleanse himself before God. Because he wanted to become a minister. And he had to confess his sins so absolutely he could become not a minister, become part of the church, church leadership, and eventually become a bishop.
So he literally thought, if I confess,
nothing will happen.
Nothing will happen and I'll get to be a minister.
Yes, I will abuse all of these women, murder my wife, so that way I can lead my own congregation or my own community then, where I can abuse furthermore.
Right, because I'll be a person of power and I'll be able to leverage that power and influence to the rest of the community of women who trust me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you know what he said in the interrogation on top of, oh, I'm doing this, you know, to become a leader, a mm-hmm. member of church leadership? He also, and I quote, well, the devil hit me.
The devil would not touch you with a 10-foot pole, motherfucker.
Yeah.
So the devil hit you, and therefore you got infused through that mighty slap, infused with his devilish, like, what?
Yeah. And, like, who even knows what further abuse he put Mary through after they got officially married?
And did Mary ever come out and say anything against him?
I don't think so. It was, I think, because he did the guilty plea. She
didn't have to testify. They,
nobody in the community had to be involved anymore. But yeah, I mean, really the only photo from this case is Samuel's mugshot. But yeah, I thought it was so sad that she was still trying to take care of her kids while she's being poisoned. Like, brutally poisoned.
She was just a good mother and a good woman. She was literally doing everything she was supposed to be doing.
Yeah, she thought her husband was taking care of her while she was sick.
Right. She trusted her husband. She was like, my husband trusts me to raise our children. And so I'm trusting him to take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, he's a sack of shit.
Yeah.
And is poisoning her, is assaulting other women.
Physically torturing women. Right. Yeah.
Yep. Fuck. So he gets convicted.
Yeah, he's sentenced to 25 years in maximum security prison.
Okay. Did he die? And
no, he's, as far as I know, he's still alive. But he's required to serve 21 of those 25 years.
What?
I think it was something as a part of the plea deal. Like, you have to serve 85% of your sentence before, I guess, you can be considered for any sort of release.
Yeah, prison math is weird.
What was that show called?
That show.
On Netflix.
About the women's prison, right?
Yeah. Fuck, what was that called?
I don't remember.
But I know exactly what you're talking about. There's an episode where they're talking about, like, prison math, and it's like, okay, you add in your sentence, time served, this. It's like, it is in a whole new level of math. Very confusing. Very confusing. And apparently, there was a letter that Samuel wrote to somebody, I guess, back in Missouri, confessing that he killed Anna.
Oh, my God.
But I couldn't find any more information about that. It was in one of the articles. And the sheriff was like, well, this is still an ongoing investigation. I can't give you details about the letter. But on top of his confession and all this evidence, he apparently wrote someone and said, yeah, I did it.
And do you think that church leadership knew?
I don't know. If everyone just kept hush about it, because that's what you're expected to do. But I mean, that you can't hush that up.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Well, fuck Samuel.
Yeah, this guy. And those poor kids. Like, I think Anna's youngest was only like 10 months old.
She literally,
like, like young children.
I'm sad.
And that is the story of the devil hitting Samuel.
The devil hit me, so I killed my wife.
Yeah, or the devil hit Samuel. Yeah. I didn't even think about an ABCs of crime.
I'm so bummed.
Yeah.
That one's like fucking sad. I mean, they're all fucking sad, but like, and it's, you know, whenever you hear like those, you know, like a spouse kills their spouse and you're just like, why didn't you just get divorced? Like, it's literally not even an option here for them. Like,
yeah, it's literally until death do you part.
Like, literally until death do you part. And he was like, well,
we're just going to expedite things. Who cares that these 4 or 5 young children don't have their mom anymore? Like,
ugh. I'm broken.
Yeah.
So what is our, what letter is this episode sponsored by, Catherine?
This week's ABCs of crime is A for Anna, because she deserved better and her kids deserved better.
Yes.
and Samuel deserves to rot in maximum security prison where he is probably suffering as an Amish man in a maximum security prison.
Bitch, I hope that the devil's
gonna hit him.
Really fucking hits him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he deserves it.
He does.
Like, that is so fucking evil.
Yeah, and everybody was so confused about this because they're like, well, the Amish are, like, such a peaceful group.
Peaceful, right.
And this motherfucker comes out and poisons his wife brutally.
In multiple ways.
And assaults women as a form of medicine. Ugh.
Well, so do we know that if after Samuel gets convicted, what happened to the kids? Mm-mm. Like, did they have to? I mean, I guess at that point, I mean, the youngest would have been about 10 years old, right? Or like 11 years old.
Well, yeah. Anna's youngest child would have been like 10 or 11.
Right.
When
so would he went forward. He have stayed in the custody of Mary?
Probably. Or like maybe they would have sent the children.
And he still thinks she has nothing to do with it?
Yeah, they...
It looks like she... Well, it seems like she was also a victim.
Yeah, she was definitely also a victim. And I guess from when they were interviewing her, like, she... I guess when you're so used to interviewing people, like, you can tell when someone's hiding mm-hmm. something.
Yeah.
And she just...
Yeah, that's
They weren't getting that from her. Like, they really thought, you know, she really didn't know.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Just a cycle of abuse.
Yep.
And poor Anna suffered the worst of it, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, damn. Take a shot for Anna.
Yeah, I just finished the rest of my cider.
For Anna. I'm going to drink my liquid IV so I can hydrate.
Got to stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated. Okay. So, yeah. We did it. Another sad case in the books.
Another one. Yeah, I just...
But hey, we're on social media.
We are. If you want to see this asshole's mugshot, just follow us at ms.murder_podcast.
On Instagram and on Facebook. Instagram,
and we're on Facebook. And shout out to everybody who liked us on Facebook because we're almost at like, what, fucking 700? That's insane.
Like, you hoes really love us.
Thank you for loving our mess.
Thank you. I really would have, I like, it was kind of insane taking such a long break and just seeing all of the likes pile up. And I was like, damn, we really got to get back to this shit. Give the people what they want.
Oh, we're at almost 600. Jesus Christ.
Yay.
Thank you. Well, dang.
Okay. Cool. Keep following. Keep listening.
Keep doing all the things you do.
But don't be like Samuel.
No, fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. Well,
yeah.
I guess that's it.
That is come all, back, friends.
Come back, possibly not next week, but perhaps the week after that, taking a little hiatus. Got some stuff coming up, so.
Yes.
We'll be next week. The week after that.
For more.
More murder.
Shenanigans. More bullying.
Shenanigans. More drinks. Cat not being able to speak English, her native tongue.
Yes.
Well, good night, friends.
Good night.
Good night.